Chaz and AJ in the morning, 99.1 PLR, the Warrens, world's most famous ghost hunters from Connecticut.
Yes.
Tony Spira is the son-in-law of the Warrens, and the Warren Files, Night of the Haunted, happening this Friday, Lyman Center at Southern. And you'll be talking about the scariest stuff in the Warrens Files.
Yes. Yes, I will, Chaz.
Good morning.
Morning.
So that the latest, you Google scary movies, and a bunch of Warren's cases come up.
Yeah, well.
The latest movie on them is the Annabelle Comes Home, right?
Right, yes. Annabelle Comes Home.
That's Annabelle is what? A doll.
Annabelle's a doll, but it's not just a doll. It's a horrific artifact in our museum.
Possessed, or what would you call it?
Well, it's infused with evil, and we believe it could possibly be possessed by a demonic entity. That's why it's locked in our case, a protective case, glass case in our museum.
This is in Monroe now.
Yes, it's in Monroe.
All right.
Our museum, okay, is
a doll infused with evil.
Right, not from the factory, by the way.
No, not from the factory.
Can you say, evil, evil, evil. Good.
Right, right.
Not like a bad Barbie.
Right.
Do we know the history of the doll, how it got infused with evil?
Yeah, well, let me just say first, I want to just say that the museum is closed, and we appreciate no one trying to go to it because...
Oh, I'm not going there.
We have a lot of trespassers, and they get arrested, and they're going to be arrested.
Oh, especially around this time of year, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It'll be your own case after that.
We have high security, and we have police monitoring the place. So, and not just because Annabelle's dangerous, because people want to go crawl all over the property, which is not cool.
Not cool.
No. The doll was purchased in 1970 by a mother of a nurse in Hartford, and she just gave her the doll as a gift, and it was purchased like at a thrift shop.
Okay.
And she handed it to the girl. Her name was Donna. And crazy things started to happen in the apartment that she and her roommate lived in. The doll would be seen in various parts of the room when they came home from their shift at the hospital. They were nurses. And then Donna said, something's wrong here because I left that doll on the couch with the legs uncrossed. I came home tonight, the legs are crossed.
Huh.
Was there anyone in the house who could do that?
No, that's the thing. She said to her roommate, she said, you know, maybe the superintendent of the building's trying to play a trick on us. And he's coming in and moving the doll around.
Okay.
And so they set up the apartment with scotch tape on the door, on the bottom of the door, so nobody could see the tape, to see if the tape was broken, to see if anybody was in the apartment.
Oh, wow.
They come home. The tape's not broken. No one was in the apartment, but the doll has moved. Now the doll's in the bedroom.
All right.
And then there were pieces of parchment paper found throughout the house, and it said, written in crayon, help me. And there's nobody ever came into the apartment. They didn't own any parchment paper. They didn't have any crayons in the house.
Hmm.
They got freaked out, though, when one day they were sitting at the breakfast nook, both of them, they had the doll sitting next to them, because she liked to treat it like a regular person.
Yeah.
And she had it sitting at the breakfast nook, and two of those flimsy arms that, you know, Raggedy Ann doll has levitated onto the countertop of the breakfast nook. Now, I don't know about you or me, but I'd be kind of scared if I saw that happen.
Doll would be so returned.
I was already scared.
I
was scared. I was scared when the legs were crossed.
Yeah, let me have that knife set over there.
I get scared when they're uncrossed.
Yeah.
But the thing is, though, Chaz and AJ, that they were not as frightened as you'd think they would be. They were more intrigued by this.
Oh, wow. See,
and what they did is the roommate of Donna said, hey, you know what? I know a psychic. Why don't we have a seance? And that doll must be trying to tell us something.
Oh, bad move.
That's like hitting the
switch.
That was like the, you know, jumping the shark kind
exactly
of thing.
Was this psychic from Connecticut?
Yes, absolutely, from our Hartford area.
Oh, wow.
And the psychic, that night they did have a seance, and the psychic went into a trance, and she says, I am getting the image of a 6 or 7-year-old little girl. She was killed outside your apartment complex in a car accident. Her name is Annabelle, and she inhabits that doll.
Ooh.
And now they all believe this.
Yeah.
God would never allow a human spirit to occupy an inanimate object like a doll or a chair or anything.
Okay.
Wow.
But a demonic entity could do
rules
what it wants.
Yeah.
A demonic entity could. But the girls thought it was a human spirit in the doll. And so they really started to treat it like a human. They call her an Annabelle and everything.
Yeah.
What drew Ed and Lorraine there, though, was when Lou, the fiancé of Donna, he was sleeping on the couch one night, and the doll was at the end of the couch.
Oh.
No problem, right? So he wakes up with a start, and he's sweaty, and he's breathing heavily, and Donna's like, what's the matter? What happened, Lou? He says, I just had the worst nightmare in the world. And she says, what do you mean? What happened? He said, I just had a dream that that doll was crawling up my leg and then got to my neck and started to strangle me to death, and he was holding his neck.
Wow.
What did he do? He picks up the doll. He picks it up by the arm, throws it right across the room, and he proclaims really loud, that's just a Raggedy Ann doll. That can't hurt anybody. And when he said that, 7 psychic wounds appeared on his chest and on his stomach.
Really?
4 on his chest, like someone took a scalpel and just ripped across his white T-shirt. 4 on the chest, 3 on the stomach. And you can see the blood oozing out of it. Now the girls looked at each other. They're frightened. They said to themselves, wait a second. That's not a human spirit. That's not Annabelle inside of a doll. That's something more sinister.
That's evil.
Yeah.
They called the local Episcopal priest in Hartford, and he said, you know what? I don't handle that kind of stuff. That's weird.
No, said,
the first said, smart person yeah. in yeah. this story.
I called said, bingo. That's it.
No. Yeah, he said,
sorry, me no speaking of Ingi. Wrong number.
So he said, why don't you call the Warrens? They know all about that kind of stuff.
Oh, good move.
And that's when Ed and Lorraine came to the house, interviewed the girls, decided that an exorcism of the home had to be done, which is casting out evil entities.
And, Pronto,
Ed,
yeah.
and they said, well, we don't want this doll any longer. And I don't blame them. And Ed said,
tax
well, I'm taking the doll wow. back to my museum. And that's what he did. And if at the beginning of Annabelle Comes Home, that's where you'll see that.
So there's multiple scene. Annabelle movies, right?
Yeah, there's 3. There's Annabelle, Annabelle Creation, and Annabelle Comes Home.
Annabelle Comes Home.
Home, yeah, because she came back to the museum.
I'm watching the trailer, and it looks like... you know, some dumb girl who knows better than to go into this museum of the Warrens' artifacts, possessed stuff, goes in, and then all hell breaks loose.
All hell
literally,
breaks loose.
Right?
Yeah, all hell breaks loose. The thing is, why all hell would break loose is because if you challenge something like that, uh-huh. the unknown.
Yeah, I'm
that's
good.
When
no
you,
challenge
that's,
here.
That's when you open up doors. And that's
just
you know,
a glass case keeps this kid in there?
Well, the glass case, remember...
It's a great question.
Glass case. Let's talk about the glass case for 1 second.
Right, we got to go to a break, but we're going
yes.
to, on the other side, you explain
sure.
how this thing, because it's in Monroe right now.
Exactly.
Right, right.
All right, but I just want to play a little bit of sound from the trailer of Annabelle Comes Home.
And creepy stuff around. We keep it all locked away in a room so that we're safe.
And then
it's
she goes in.
It's not really good for anyone to go in there.
And look who goes in.
Oh, look at that.
Young girl.
Hey.
Walking around. Is this what the room looks like?
It's very close.
Okay.
It's very close.
All right. A lot of stuff. Piano. Monkey. Monkey's wearing a Sgt. Pepper's jacket.
Nice.
What'd you do to get in
and
there?
And there's the doll. Oh. Behind the glass.
Okay.
And now she's distracted, so she looks away. And she's like, I'm out of here. And then she runs to the door, and the door's closed. And now the chair's empty. Where's the doll?
See, glass case.
Okay. And now, oh, boy. And now, like, everything's starting to kind of, like, freak her out. She sees a face.
Why did you do? I let her out.
Why did you go in there?
Now it's you.
I'm sorry. What else did you touch? Everything.
Hey, Avon calling.
Can I play with Annabelle?
I think you have the wrong house. There's no...
Oh, no, you don't. Oh, my God. It's real life, Annabelle.
Oh,
that's what it is.
Gotcha.
Oh, boy. That looks good, too.
Next is Annabelle Love Story.
All right. We're going to ask Tony how that thing stays in the glass.
Yes.
In Monroe. The most famous haunted possessed doll in the world is in Monroe, Connecticut.
Yes.
And her name is Annabelle. Tony Spira is here. He's a psychic researcher, and he's son-in-law of the Warrens. More stuff on what he's doing Friday coming up, but AJ asked a great question. How does that little glass case hold in the most possessed doll on the planet?
Yeah, well, you know, it's a matter of taking the right precautions, but one of our senior investigators has been with me for a long time, Dan Rivera.
Precautions. What are the right precautions?
Yeah,
take the glass.
Dan Rivera is knowledgeable in the occult and all things paranormal too, and he built this case out of wood and glass, but that's not just plain old wood that he used in a piece of glass. He also carved three crosses in a cabinet. He stained the cabinet a nice walnut color, but he used holy water and blessed holy oil in the stain to help preserve. And then what he did is
I'm thinking every couple of years you got to re-oil it with the holy water.
And we do blessings. But then he put some plaques of St. Michael the Archangel, who was the protector from the devil.
Okay, so it's almost like a safe. There's all kinds of
things. Yeah, and he put the Lord's Prayer behind the felt where her head is against. We have it blessed also by a priest that comes in every month or so and blesses the entire
multiple
museum.
Layers of security.
Multiple layers of security, and you treat it with respect, not reverence, but respect. And then Chris Galloran, who's another lead investigator of ours, he also helps us in the transport of the doll also if we need to transport the whole case somewhere.
Holy crap.
Yeah, I'm just sent it a mail.
Does the evil in the doll dial down after years? Is it
like it retires?
Yeah, sometimes
like if you left the beer out,
sometimes
it goes bad after a while?
Sometimes it can go dormant. In other words, you won't hear any, and that's the scary part of it. You'll start to think, well, that doll's not possessed. There's nothing wrong with that doll. Look, right. It hasn't done anything.
It's 100 years to us. It's like there's no time.
There's no time.
It's like a week and a half, yeah.
Right. Time and space are very different in the spirit realm. In other words, you know, we're here for 70, 80, 90 years, but what's eternity? So 80 years in a spirit world can be like a snap of the finger.
That's funny.
It's also cologne.
I think there's three known movies about Annabelle, but I think that there's another one, as I was hearing Tony tell the story, Trilogy of Terror is about that possessed doll.
Right, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's a very similar story, and I think that they copped the Annabelle story and made it a different enough where they wouldn't get sued for rights.
You have an amulet, and it's a native guy.
Right.
Yeah.
The Trilogy of Terror was with Karen Black. I remember that movie.
Yes.
Yeah, great movie.
That was fantastic.
Freaked me out.
Still scary even today. You know?
Yeah.
But tomorrow I'm going to be talking about all of this stuff and more, like the Amityville case.
So this is like, now people went to the Warrens all the time and went to their shows and loved it, and it's basically the Warrens show without the Warrens.
Right.
Tony worked with them for years and years. So it's slides, it's stories.
It's video.
Video.
It's Q&A after. But I'll get into things. I'll talk about demonic possession. I'll show a video of a exorcism of a farmer from Warren, Massachusetts. That was terrific.
Oh,
well,
wow.
I shouldn't say horrific, I should say. And we'll see the only photographs ever taken inside the Amityville house.
Oh.
And back in 1976 when Ed and Lorraine were invited in by Channel 5, Marvin Scott from Channel 5.
Oh, wow.
And I'll talk about the Conjuring movies, of course, the reality of those, if how accurate they were, and the Nun, and the, of course, the Annabelle movies, too. You know?
And this is at the Lyman Center at Southern. Today's Wednesday, so Friday night.
November. That's right. Friday night, November 1st, 8 o'clock, I'll be there. You can all come out, and I'll be more than happy to talk to you, too.
All right. We're linked up at WPLR.com if you want tickets. We should do a podcast together.
Sure.
Wouldn't you love to hear all these stories?
Yes.
That would be great.
Just keep Annabelle
all
far
right.
away.
I could tell you guys stories that would curl your toes.
Well, mine
curling my toes. Well, I have a curly one already.
Chaz.
Well, straighten my toes.
Chaz. Are you still on the air?
Yeah.
Can you hand me another shrimp? These guys really take care of you here. They really do. Love these guys. Shrimp cocktail. They have everything provided here when you come in.
Tony, thank you, brother. Appreciate it.
We're linked up at
WPLR.com. The Warrens Files, Night of the Haunted, coming Friday to the Lyman Center in Southern. Dr. Tammy's in studio. This is what we're going to do. Call in a public place you had sex. And we'll put you in the running for Impractical Jokers tickets coming to Mohegan Sun. 203-283-2706. 203-283-2706. So before we start getting to the calls, Andrew, the tribe was hammering you for some reason. What happened?
Well, because I forgot Granky was the starter for... for Houston.
Gotcha. Okay.
Because I'm a dope.
Folks help
folks doing the sports report for you.
Exactly.
Yes, exactly.
Got you.
Yes.
All right.
You blanked and they picked up for you.
And then Tammy comes in and says, you know, my sister talks to the dead. She has 7 books out and I've been trying to get her on the show.
Really?
And Phil just keeps saying, no, we're good.
Really? Phil?
I believe this is the one day, AJ, if you were to throw Phil out the window, yes. I wouldn't try to stop you.
Oh, look at that, Chet. Thank you.
I had no idea.
I would get in the way and I would not let anything happen to that man.
You'll help me, actually.
Today? Yes. I would point the spot. I would like him to land.
Exactly. I'll give you $5. You hit that spot right there.
What do you mean? You've been texting him?
She's been talking to dead people since we've been little kids.
Really?
Yeah, it's creepy.
That is creepy.
Yeah, and they answer her.
They answer her. I have enough trouble with live people, so I don't talk to dead people.
Yeah, really. Yeah.
Seriously.
I got enough going on. Yeah. Yeah.
Look, you're dead. Your problems are behind you.
Well, you're trying to jumpstart dead people, yes, other parts of them.
But wait, what's your first memory of her saying, did you hear that?
Or how
did
people?
What happened? What do you remember?
Well, she's always like had this thing where there's other people in the room, or more likely she said things to people like, you know, you have like Aunt Jo, or there's like a Joe around you, or a J word, or a Janice. And people are like, I don't know what you're talking about, but my husband's name was Joe, and he's dead.
Well, duh. Yeah. So she talks to dumb people.
She gets that a lot. People are like, I don't know. She's like, I feel like there's like a Maria. She's trying to send you a message. She's really sorry about what happened. I don't know a Maria. I don't know what you're talking about. You know, my sister's name was Maria, and she stole all my money, but that's all.
And she's dead. Yeah.
Oh, my God. She sounds awesome.
Oh, we want her on tomorrow in the 6 hour.
And yes. She talks to idiots,
okay,
apparently.
Okay, give me her number.
Right. I will.
I had an occurrence like that. I was the dumb person in the story.
Really?
I went and spoke to this person. He wouldn't come on the show unless I went to speak to him. It was a weekend night. Oh, I'm like, all right, whatever.
Yep.
Drive into Nassau County. Sit down with this guy. There's no candles or beads or anything.
No beads.
It's just a regular office.
Right.
We sit down. He puts on a tape deck, runs through all of this stuff. 90% of it, right on the money. Can't make this stuff up. Conversation I had with my mother before she died. No one knows it but her and I. He nails it.
Wow.
I'm like, holy crap.
I take
the tape. I go home. I play it to my then wife. And in the beginning of this whole process, he goes, who's Mary? She came right out, like, Mary. I'm like, I don't know any Marys.
Everyone knows a Mary.
Who's Mary? Don't know. She's saying this, she's saying that. Don't know. I get home, I play the tape for her. She goes, your grandmother's name is Mary. I'm like, well, I call her grandma.
Exactly. Exactly.
I don't know her name.
I call her grandma.
I was absolutely that person.
Oh, look at that.
She must get that a lot. Okay, we're going to try to get your sister.
Nice.
Yes.
All right. What we're going to do now is go to the phones and ask folks about their public sex in public places.
Yes.
Everybody on gets in the running for Impractical Jokers tickets coming to Mohegan Sun. Chaz and AJ in the morning, PLR. Chaz and AJ in the morning, 99.1 PLR. Sex in public places. Your story will get you in the running for Impractical Jokers tickets. Dr. Tammy's in studio. We're linked up to all things drtammynelson.com. She said Phil has been blocking her sister from coming on. Her sister talks to dead people.
Why, for God's sake?
So
why?
Cool.
7 books.
7.
Yeah, she's like the top psychic that I know.
Wow.
I don't know any even more famous psychics. Yeah.
What's her name?
Melanie Barnum. Wow. You can go to MelanieBarnum.com.
The Melanie Barnum?
The Melanie Barnum.
Well, I never heard of her.
She's like a circus person.
Make it feel busy.
Yeah, Barnum.
Wait, seriously?
Yeah, honest to God. Melanie
She's
Barnum.
She's not related to the Barnum family.
She's married to the Barnum family.
Oh,
and,
my God.
And I actually grew up in the circus.
Look at you.
Yeah. Clyde B. Cole Brothers.
That's why,
we're
why you juggle jobs.
We're freaky psychic parapsychology people.
Right. No wonder you talk to me.
Hold on.
That's why we're so
sensitive. Phil is on the phone right now. Phil?
Dr. Tammy, you know I love you.
I love
you
too.
But this is complete and total crap, Tammy.
I have the text,
If you can produce a single email
text
pitching your sister who talks to dead people that wrote all the books, I will shave my beard off my face.
Okay, Phil, I have proof because Ashley has my sister in the Chaz and AJ
WPLR
list.
Wait, Ashley, has it been you?
No, I had no idea.
No.
But my sister's phone number came up.
So, yeah, when I asked Dr. Tammy for the number, and I punched it in.
I don't book the guests. I don't even hold that phone anymore.
Oh. Hmm. Ooh, now it's between you and Ash.
The script is
now. Who were you texting back and forth with? Or were you having a direct conversation with Phil, Tammy?
I think it was with Phil. But now I'm confused about who owns that phone.
Oh.
Because whenever I text, it just says Phil on my phone.
Scroll through the texts, please.
Nope. I just texted her for the first time. There was nothing. But this was a new phone that I got in July.
All right. I'm going to go through my texts.
Ashley's going to shave her.
Excellent.
Yes.
All right.
And then Ashley shave her.
We're going to get to the bottom.
All right, Phil.
Got to defend my honor.
Sorry, well, you may have to defend your beard.
I think Dr. Tammy should shave her head now.
Ooh, those are fighting words.
There you go, see?
All right.
She'll kill you.
All right, thank you, Phil.
All right, see you guys.
All right. Yep, wait to sleep.
I'm going to have my sister do a reading on him.
No, don't listen on
You're
him.
About to be killed by a psychic.
Right, with a knife.
Therapist. Who was part of the circus.
Exactly. They kill you, fight
and
Yeah,
ways. You can't mess with us. Don't mess with my family.
No, whatever. Don't ever mess with my family.
All this is coming back to me now, her weird stories.
Okay.
Dr. Tammy.
Right.
Grew up in the circus, all this. Yeah, it's all coming back to me now.
Yeah.
All right, Mark in the oil truck, where'd you have sex in a public place?
Morning, gang. Back in the early 80s, I volunteered for the professional golf tour, and I was doing a ladies' tournament in New Rochelle. And my girlfriend came down and met me down there. I was a ranger at that time. And around the fourth tee, there was a set of hedges, about 4 foot tall. We went behind the tee box, behind the hedges, and enjoyed life.
Wow, you got right in the rough.
Went right to the ball cleaner.
Right in the rough. Look at that. See that?
There's so many jokes here.
Right.
Like I'm being overwhelmed now.
Did you talk to her like a golf person? I love you very, very much. It was really nice.
The people teeing off could definitely hear us.
Yes. Right.
Oh,
I'm
really?
Trying to. Oh, yeah. It wasn't quiet.
I would think if you're doing it in a sex public place, if you're having sex in a public place, you'd be quiet.
Right.
She was making noise?
They were having foreplay.
That's the way the world goes. I mean, you're rocking your boat, you're rocking your boat.
Gotcha. Right. I hear you. Right.
Let's be honest. It's impossible to have sex quietly, like silently.
Sure. If you're a mime.
I don't know if that's true.
Well,
it's a challenge.
It is.
It sounds like you don't know how to have quiet sex.
Right. I can't. It's impossible.
Jazz.
Yes.
I went to the Hub last night. Have you ever been there?
The what?
The Hub?
The Hub.
What is that?
Ansonia, Main Street.
All right, Mark, I'm going to put you on hold. Okay. We could probably talk about this, just you and me, somewhere else.
More public sex?
Do we have Mark's number? Okay, we do. All right, so I can let Mark go.
Right.
All right, Mark, I'm going to let you go.
Yeah. All right,
we're going to go over here and keep this moving. Russ and Westbrook, you had sex where?
At the courthouse.
The courthouse?
In Middletown.
Wow.
Yeah, I was at court with my soon-to-be ex-wife. We got our divorce finalized. We walked out of the courtroom, went into the stairs, went up to the top of the stairs, and banged one out.
May I see that?
I think I hit the dump button on that. So you were there, you got your divorce finalized, and you thought, hey, one more time.
One last hurrah.
One more for the road.
Exactly right.
Well, there was a few more times, but that was the first of the few more times.
Well, yeah, because you're single now. She was single now, yeah.
You're like, hey, you just screwed me.
Exactly.
I'm going to return the favor.
Exactly right.
Yeah, it was back in January 2012, January 23rd.
Wow, look at that.
All right.
Well, the guys remember the divorce date. The women remember the wedding date.
Yes.
I think we remember our divorce date, too.
I think the court.
What, did the payments come?
The court doesn't sound like a clean place, a clean environment to have sex.
It's a newer court in Middletown.
Oh, right. Well,
that makes a difference.
Way better. Public place you had sex. Tara.
Hi. Good morning, everybody.
Hi.
Good morning.
Is it happening now?
So, I have a story. I'm from Long Island, from the North Shore.
Hey, represent.
So, at the time, my boyfriend and I, we went down to a beach, and the beach that we were at, it was like a long stretch down. It was very secluded. We brought our fishing poles. We brought a couple of beers. It was just him and I.
Cedar Beach?
So, No, it's on the North Shore. It's in Stony Brook. I'm probably giving away too much information by saying.
Well, Cedar Beach is on the
West
North
Meadow.
Shore. Mount Sinai.
West Meadow.
It connects to West Meadow. So
yep,
that's what
perfect.
It is.
Yep.
So it's all the way towards the end. So we get there. We're fishing. We're drinking. We're hanging out. It's really very secluded. So, you know, since we were by ourselves, I decided to get on all fours, and we were just kind of hanging out, having a little fun.
Right. Different kind of pole.
So next thing I know, I hear clapping. And from a bunch of people.
Crabs? I'm hoping it's crabs. Did you get crabs?
I look up and there is a boat that somehow was very quietly going past us right in front of us. And everybody saw me and everybody was just clapping. And then all I could do was just get up, sit, and wave. And then one of the guys screams and he says, I thought that you were a dog. And I was like,
yeah, one day felt like a human being, like, ew.
Thanks.
Yeah, like, what? It's a human being, ew.
No, honest mistake.
Yeah, it was a canine club passing by.
Thanks for sharing.
Yeah. Yes. all the both of us could do pretty much was just sit there and kind of take it, and we waved back, and then that was just the end. We went back to fishing after that.
Yeah, next performance at 4:30. Thank you.
I think it's brilliant. She got on all fours on the beach because if you lay down, there's sand everywhere.
Exactly.
And it's just
it's creative.
Chafing, yeah.
Very problems, smart.
Problem solver.
Exactly.
Problem
solved.
See? You got to think on your feet, pretty much, or half your feet.
All right, Tara, you're in the running for the tickets.
Great. Thank you, guys.
All right, thank you.
Nice.
Bye-bye.
All right, we have her number.
That's clever.
Natalie?
Hi.
Hi.
Good morning.
Natalie.
Good morning.
My story, when I was in college, I dated a guy, and we always kind of had to get creative with where we would have sex because we both had roommates and didn't have a ton of privacy. So one night after a couple drinks, we decided to go down to the baseball field and have sex in the dugout.
See?
Mm.
You're a dugout for his dugout, yes. Mm-hmm. He was playing, right? It's a doubleheader.
Jokes on scoring.
Exactly.
Run.
Right.
Rounding the base.
Definitely scoring. Yeah. Yes.
Two balls and a strike.
Exactly. Right. Endless. Batter up.
Right.
Yep. Batter endless. Up.
I'll just list him instead of telling him.
Yep. He's on deck. Yes.
Yeah.
Mm.
I'm guessing not on the ground of the dugout, right? The
bench? No, the chair. Yeah, the bench. Yeah.
Yeah, she was warming the bench, all right.
Exactly.
Yep.
She's a bench warmer.
Exactly. Any splinters? No.
I love it. You are in the running for the tickets. Thank you.
Cool. Thanks.
All right.
No, thank you.
That was an easy one. She was like, oh, all right.
Yeah. No, I wouldn't call her. I wouldn't call her easy. Come on. What are you doing over here? You're a therapist?
She didn't have to do much.
She's an easy one.
This is great because Dr. Tammy, during this segment, which she basically suggested, is taking pictures of herself while we're on.
It's her reaction.
It's because I'm posting social media for all of us.
Not asking any questions.
This is her reacting. She's entitled to have a day off.
Not making any comments.
No, I'm taking pictures
today
of you guys,
at the studio
too.
Is all about a photo shoot.
She's right. You're the idiots I hang out with on Wednesday.
Promoting her sister. And updating her photos.
I'm posting you guys, too, not
See?
Just me.
Exactly. See?
No, the first thing she said when she came in was, that photo of me is outdated. You need new ones.
Oh, look at that. See that?
And that was it. She was done.
Nice.
You got some new pictures, though. And you got your sister booked on the show. So, important day.
Productive
day. I'm like a PR person today.
You
That's
are.
Right. If you actually want to talk to Dr. Tammy about something,
right.
DrTammyNelson.com or linked up at WPLR.com. Always fun. Thank you.
Thank you.
Was she taking another picture?
It's time for Chaz and AJ Dumbass News.
Yeah!
Dumbass.
When you see a dumbass in the news, send it to dumbassnews@chazandajinthemorning.com.
Yeah!
Crook seen getting away with TV on a motorcycle. On a motorcycle?
On a motorcycle.
Let's go to the audio.
It's definitely not something you see every day. A 50-inch TV sandwiched between two people
50.
On a motorcycle.
Nice.
A 50-inch TV.
Well, you'll get still the best, you know what I'm saying?
If it were back in the day, it would be too heavy for the motorcycle, right?
You would think.
A 50-inch TV. Yeah, yeah, imagine that back in the day.
Screen. Yeah.
Sandwiched between two people on a motorcycle.
To ride in plain sight and with a TV.
It's going
to
drag down the experience now.
I would think. Well, it depends on how you hold it. If you hold it upright, not bad. You hold it sideways, yeah.
Right. So yeah. It's sandwiched between the two people.
Right.
It's not long ways.
Right.
Okay? There's no being on the back seat if it's long ways. So exactly. It's sideways.
Right.
So it's acting like a parachute.
Exactly.
To ride in plain sight and with a TV.
People in the Alvin area captured these images. Just an hour before this, a burglary happened at a home on County Road 101 and 90 in Manville. It was just before 3 on Monday. Wow. Home surveillance video shows their motorcycle pull up to the home. The thieves head to the back patio, look around, then they rip a TV out of a cabinet that had been drilled into it. You then see them get back on the bike.
What is this? One of those TVs out in the back patio? Like, you can watch when you're, like, I don't know, grilling?
Not sure, yeah.
People do have them outside.
I wouldn't mind having one.
Yeah.
Right.
Hey.
Yeah, all right.
I'll take one.
Out of a cabinet that had been drilled into it. You then see them get back on the bike with the TV in tow, where they were sighted all over Brazoria County.
Oh, these guys definitely knew the person then, right?
They would have to.
You don't just walk in the back of a random house, hope there's a TV back here.
Give it a shot.
All right, go ahead.
It's unfortunate and absolutely brazen. It's something that you should know better, and you shouldn't. You should have some shame, quite frankly.
You should have some shame.
You should, but you didn't. Now you have a TV instead. Shame or a TV? I'm going to TV.
The real story here is that they were on a motorcycle. They saw the TV and said, yeah, we'll take that.
Exactly.
But there's, I don't know.
They'll never catch us. No one will see us at all.
On a motorcycle.
It's not even like it was in a box. Like, oh, no, we just bought it. We're coming back from the store. No, we ripped out of a cabinet.
Yeah. Yeah.
What are you doing?
Yeah. Like, how much do you get for that at a pawn shop? A 50-inch used television.
Nowadays, nothing.
Nothing.
With the covers ripped down.
Yeah, go ahead.
You know, that's no shame whatsoever.
Brazoria County deputies say they followed the thieves, but lost them.
Harris the dumbass.
How do you lose with a TV?
Right. All right, we're following this motorcycle with a 50-inch flat screen.
Right, between the two guys.
Where'd they go? Oh, I don't know. They were here just a second ago.
Did they hit this one area? Everybody had TV sets between them and a motorcycle? There's like 15 people now.
I don't know which one it is.
Wait a minute. It's National Ride a Motorcycle with a TV Day. Damn it.
How do you lose these people? This is the dumbass in the story.
Exactly.
These deputies.
How?
All right, go on.
They followed the thieves, but lost them. People reported seeing them at FM 1462.
Excuse me?
FM 1462? Yeah, someone with FM 1462.
FM 1462.
They were on FM Main Street a moment ago.
Oh,
now
man.
FM 1462.
That'd be embarrassing to, like, radio back.
Right.
Yeah, we're in pursuit of a motorcycle with a stolen television 50-inch flat screen.
Come again?
Yep, motorcycle with a 50-inch flat screen.
Okay, very good. Stay on, then. We'll send some other...
Wait a minute. I won't.
What was that?
Darn it, they were here just a second ago.
Wait a minute, you lost them? It's a motorcycle with a 50-inch flat screen.
At least call in with a story like, they turned a corner and jumped a bridge. And,
yeah, right.
You know,
All right. They did an evil connection. They drove up into the back of a truck and a door went down and then.
Yeah.
It's okay. I found my FN 1462.
Chaz and AJ in the morning, 99.1 PLR. Food, beer, running, community. Can we still get in to the Vicky Soto 5K this Saturday in Stratford? Jim Wiltsy, what do you think?
Good morning.
Hey. Good morning, Jim.
We are currently at about 3,600 people, which is amazing.
Damn.
That, I believe, is more than you had ever, right?
Pre-registered, yes. Yes.
Wow.
But we are still registering people at Packet Pickup. You can go down to 2420 Main Street in Stratford, which is behind the old movie theater in downtown Stratford, from 12 to 7 today, and then tomorrow from 12 to 2. And then to race day morning on Saturday morning, which it's not supposed to rain, thankfully.
Yeah.
Like it's going to be in the 50s.
Yep.
7 a.m. The lot is going to open. We do not have any more shirts left, but we can get you in. It's going to be a great day. Lots of food, lots of beer, lots of people, lots of love. It's going to be awesome.
The food never ends.
No, it doesn't. They feed you well.
I normally leave right after I run.
Yeah.
I'm going to stay and eat.
Look at you.
Yeah, you gotta, you gotta. Yeah. And we got Nashville Drive performing too, so there'll be a DJ all morning playing music, getting the crowd pumped up.
Right.
And then Nashville Drive is going to do probably about an hour and a half to 2 hour set as people are coming across the finish line, which last year the kid ran. It was a Harvard running team, and the time was like 15 minutes, which is amazing.
Yeah.
I saw him at the start line
right
when we were doing the announcements, and you could just tell that just the waves
like a gazelle.
Exactly.
I was in the lead vehicle, and he kept running closer and closer to the truck, and I had to keep going faster because he was running up onto the vehicle.
Yeah.
Yep.
Go
faster. He's gaining on us.
But what a great experience.
Yeah.
The food and the beer and the
right
community, and Vicky's such a special person.
Right.
It's we've come a long way. We're like I said in when I met with you guys a couple weeks ago, we're giving out, I mean, annually about $100,000 annually to support literacy and the scholarships, and it's amazing. And like I said, we are still signing people up. We've had a couple hundred people come through the door this week alone. The packet pickup has been open since Sunday, and people are just I can't keep up with the amount of emails. How do I get in? How do I get in? So it's really amazing.
Right.
Where can we link up to if folks want to get involved?
So VickySoto5K.com. That'll take them to the run sign up site, and they are going to get redirected. It's going to tell them that they have to sign up in person now. You can't sign up online anymore. You have to show up on race day morning or show up at the office, which is, like I said, 2420 Main Street. But all that information is on that webpage.
Okay, very good. And we'll put it on WPLR.com just to make it simple. AJ, are you your pinky's broken.
No, my pinky toe is broken.
Your pinky toe.
Exactly, yeah. So
you're not walking.
A little tough to walk. But this year, I'm going to make sure when I shoot that confetti off away from my face.
Right.
So this year, you guys, I know, Chaz, you're not going to like this, but I got one of those scissor lifts again.
Oh.
But okay. I'll keep you away from the power lines.
All right, very good.
Yes.
You'll be near the runway approach zone, so you have to look out for air.
Exactly right. Yeah, we're a light on your head.
I'm not good with heights, and right. A scissor lift moves in the wind.
Uh-huh.
And as they were lifting, I got to tell you, though, it's a beautiful view when you look and see the sea of humanity.
It's impressive, yeah.
It's really something you'll never forget.
And exactly.
Going up, and I'm like, wow, this is beautiful. And then I look, and there's power lines, and there's someone who doesn't do this for a living running the. I'm like,
yeah.
Okay, this could be very interesting.
And I'm disappointed this year. I'm not walking. It's going to beat my time of an hour and a half from last year. So,
right.
Yeah.
We're not going to. There won't be any power. So Stanziel's closed, the restaurant. So we're kind of different this year. We're down a little bit in that big lot next to Stiffin's Lane. So nice. We're away from the power lines, but you're still going to see an ocean of people, 4,000 people lined up along Main Street, which is an amazing sight in itself.
Nice.
I can't wait. All right, we're linked up to Vicky Soto 5K at WPLR.com. Jim Wiltsey, thank you, brother. Appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
See you Saturday.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.